What's happening locally? The news.
And indeed it is this morning's look. Some of those news items here in the Republic of Panama. The Ministry of Commerce and Industry, the MICI, announced that the government reached an agreement on the final text of the contract with the Canadian mining company First Quantum. The announcement comes after weeks where both sides accused each other of not wanting to reach an agreement. The MICI statement indicates that annually the state would be receiving at least $375 million in taxes and royalties. It was reported that the duration of the contract is for 20 years, with an option to be extended for an additional 20 years. Most importantly, this contract is beneficial for Panama and Panamanians while creating the necessary conditions for Minera Panama to continue its operations under a fair and equitable investment environment, said the head of the MICI, Frederico Alfaro Boyd, according to the statement. For his part, Tristan Pascal, CEO of First Quantum Minerals Limited, stressed that after, quote, a long and arduous process of talks, the proposed concession contract outlines the basis for the future of Cobre Panama, and we look forward to a long and constructive partnership with Panama in the years to come. Likewise, it was announced that the contract will be available to the population during a 30-day public consultation process. Once this part has been completed, it will be up to the Cabinet Council to evaluate it and, incidentally, authorize the Minister of Commerce to sign the contract, after which it will be presented for review and endorsement by the Comptroller General of the Republic. It will then be presented to the National Assembly for approval and will later be sanctioned by the President of the Republic, Laurentino Cortizo. First Quantum said that the Panama Maritime Authority will issue a resolution on Wednesday, the 8th of March, where it will lift the suspension that weighs on the port of Punta Rincón since January the 26th due to failures in the certification process of the scales used to weigh the material that was exported. Once processing is expected to resume and restore the mine to full production levels over the next few days, the Canadian miner said. The Tribunal Electoral presented on Wednesday, the 8th of March, the programs for the registration of early voting and the registration of voters abroad. Alfredo Junca, Magistrate President of the Tribunal Electoral, said that the registration of early voting began this Monday, the 6th of March, and that it includes servants of the nation who will be able to make use of the advantage of integrating the new registry to vote for president in advance. This advance registration includes members of the security forces and others who must make use of the right to vote in this way. The group would include doctors, nurses, communicators and voters of other activities that require exercising the right to vote in advance. We are in a new stage. The antecedents of early voting indicate that the 2007 reform, well, it's now possible to include that Panamanians living abroad exercise the vote by email only for president, said the president of the general elections plan, Magistrate Eduardo Valdez Escofori. Until 11 a.m. on Wednesday, 18 Panamanians had been registered to vote in the early voting program, and these people are located in countries such as Argentina, Costa Rica, France and Sweden. Registration is done from the User Service Center. Registration is up until the 15th of December of this year. In the remote community of La Peñita in Darien, something is being observed that did not happen 4 years ago. A large migratory flow of people through the mighty Chuconaque River. This hasn't happened in a while. In communities like Bajo Chiquito, they no longer fit, and now entire families of migrants are arriving here in La Peñita, said Thomas, an embera who lives on the banks of that extensive watershed. In fact, in 2019, La Peñita was the epicenter of the migration crisis. However, not having the basic and necessary conditions to attend to the walkers, the migrant population was transferred to other points, such as San Vicente or Lajas Blancas, both in Metete. However, now that the migration scenario is sharpening up in the community of Thomas, they are smiling again. The young indigenous man explains why. When there were hundreds of migrants in La Peñita, we sold them food, we sold them water and provided other services, such as boats or transportation to the center of Darien. When they left, our small businesses also went bankrupt and we had to go back to fishing and planting, he said. La Peñita is a rural hamlet of about 150 houses on the banks of the Chukunaki River and in the poorest province of the country, only surpassed by the indigenous regions. It is about 5 hours from Panama City and practically lost in the border jungle. The Development Bank of Latin America will allocate $122 million to promote electric mobility in Panama, Uruguay, and Paraguay. These funds are part of the $231 million approved in October of last year by the Green Climate Fund. This contribution will be executed under the Electric Mobility and Low Carbon Transport Program, known as eMotion, that will function as a market accelerator, will allow the adoption of electric mobility, and will contribute to closing the gaps between pilot projects and the massive deployment of intensive use of electric vehicles, the CAF said. Currently, there are 100% electric vehicles in the country, 2,904 hybrids and 323 hybrids with the option of recharging with plugs. In public transport, the Tourism Authority of Panama advances the implementation of a route through Casco Viejo operated with 5 electric buses that will be acquired with funds provided by the Inter-American Development Bank. The construction sector has historically suffered the consequences of late payments for the state work that it executes, which entails higher costs, which finally end up being transferred to the entire production chain involved in the industry. At this moment, the government owes about $286 million to 38 supplier companies that have provided their services in 18 entities, highlighting road projects, schools, and hospitals. This was revealed by Carlos Allen, president of the Panamanian Chamber of Construction, CAPAC, who told La Prensa that they have held talks with officials of the Ministry of the Presidency and the Ministry of Economy and Finance, trying to expedite the payment of the work done to obtain the liquidity needed in the process of economic reactivation that the country is experiencing. Allen recalled that last year an extraordinary credit of $300 million was consigned, which served to pay the overdue accounts for the year 2021, but the commitments of 2022 were pending. Just 2 days after having run as a candidate for the presidency of the Republic in the primary elections of the Democratic Revolutionary Party, the PRD, the deputy and current president of the National Assembly, Crispiano Adames, presented a bill that seeks to modify the requirements of the economic aid delivered by the Institute for the Training and Use of Human Resources, IFAHU, and from which they have benefited in this administration, close friends of his colleagues and co-partisans. Adames, recognizing the political management that has been given to this program, said that his proposal seeks to eliminate the discretion that has been maintained until now in the management of IFARU aid. We believe it's essential to regulate once and for all that it is really the people of scarce resources with great academic merits who can obtain the benefit, Adames said. To change this situation, the deputy raises a new requirement that the beneficiaries report an annual family income of less than $50,000. This would imply having a socio-economic study that justifies the needs. And on that's it. That brings us to the end of this morning's look at some of the local news stories for you here in the Republic of Panama on today's programme.